Well, good evening. You know, it always seems when you sit there while the song service goes, the singing goes really fast when you're about to preach, and then the special usually goes like that. That was the fastest special I've ever listened to. I must have dozed off because I think I missed it. Just kidding. It's great to be in the house of God tonight. I never want the pulpit under these circumstances. I know my pastor's really sick. I know half the church is sick. I'm still recovering from some nasally lung crud myself, but when Pastor gave me the text message giving me the opportunity to be here, I never refuse it because it's such a blessed opportunity to be able to spread the Word of God to my church family. And I've been doing a lot of preaching lately and not a whole lot of it to my church family, so it's really nice to be able to preach to my home church, especially when you realize that this is the first message of the year. And that just has a nice sound to it. I like that. We're going to be in the third chapter of 1 Samuel today. Now, there's a lot going on in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're just going to glean a few points out of this passage, otherwise we'll be here all night, and I don't think my throat's going to handle exhausting this passage. So we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, and Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Brother Matt.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Father, we thank you for the health and the ability to come this evening, and Father, I pray that you would continue to be with those that are sick, and I pray, Lord, that you please bless our pastor, help him through his sickness as well. But Lord, I pray now that you would help Brother Nelson, help him as he preaches, Father, give him great liberty. And I pray, Father, that you just have each heart open up to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to God's Word. Now, there's a lot going on in this particular passage, and just for a little bit of background, we find Samuel beginning his ministry in the temple underneath the priest Eli, and we have absolutely no idea of the age of Samuel at this particular time, and it's a very well-known passage for those of you who are Bible readers, and I hope you are all Bible readers, because we're going to be addressing that issue right off the bat, because there's a word in verse number 1 that is important. Verse number 1 says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? Because there was no open vision. This word precious in reference to the word of God, I want to just ask you right off the bat, does that have any meaning to you personally? You know, we kind of take for granted our Bibles, do we not? We watch our kids just throw the things in the car, put them on the ground, do all sorts of things that actually aggravates the snot out of me, and I try to teach them earnestly to respect their Bible. And one of the reasons why is it's precious to me. This is the second Bible I've owned since I've gotten saved. And the first Bible I owned was given to me by my mother-in-law after I got saved. And she wrote some words in the first page for me. And it was that Bible was precious to me. And I kind of put it aside because of the Bible that I have now. And it was hard for me to put words as to how special that Bible was to me. And I can openly admit, you know, in Master Club, I deal with a lot of bus kids, and I would always be real hesitant to let the bus kids use my Bible because they didn't have the same respect for my Bible that I had. And one of the reasons why is because when I got saved, my mother-in-law gave me my Bible. And I did everything I could to read that thing every day and study it and learn it. And it just became so familiar to me that even when I got this new Bible, this one felt foreign even still now because I read that one for almost a decade. You know, it was starting to fall apart. You know, I started to lose pages and I'm really trying to be careful with the thing. And it was just so important to me. And I just want you to think right now about that word precious. You know, if I was to give you a laundry list of things in my life that I consider to be precious, pizza and cheeseburgers wouldn't be on that list. I do like cheeseburgers and I do like pizza. I like food. But food's not precious to me. I never look at dinner and think, oh, this is just precious. I don't do that. The things in my list of things that are precious to me, you know, right off the top, you just think about your family. My wife is precious to me. My children are precious to me. We the last 2 years in a row, we've had pictures by Miss Melaine Hamilton. She's amazing. If you ever have an opportunity to have her take pictures of your family, I highly recommend it because she just does a fabulous job of taking pictures. And the last 2 years in a row, she's taken a picture of me and my daughters together. And every time I look at that picture, I name it something worth killing for. Because when I look at my daughters standing next to me, they're just so precious to me. And I don't say that to belittle the relationship and love I have for my boys in any way or form, because I love my boys. There's no doubt about it. But when I look at that particular picture with me and my girls, I just think there is nothing I wouldn't do for them. And I feel the same about my sons. I just don't have a title to the picture that sounds as cool when I look at it. My family's precious to me. They really are. You ever had a bad dream where something horrible happens to one of your family? Find yourself jumping out of bed before you even realize it because it was so real, the tragedy that was happening in your dreams, and it just shocks you because of how precious they are to you. Well, right here in verse number 1, it declares that the word of the Lord was precious. Was precious. Well, what does that mean, precious? It means to set a value towards said item or thing above all else. The word of God at this particular time in the nation of Israel was valued more than anything else. It was precious. It was precious. You know, there's a lot of other things that I consider to be precious. I consider my relationship with God to be precious. I can't even describe the value that I have for my relationship with God. That only came because of the Word of God, which makes it precious. My church itself, my church family is precious to me. I was telling Miss Jo Hubbard the other day, it's kind of one of the cruel fates of being a missionary on deputation, is it creates an unfamiliarity, if I could say it right, between me and my church. And it mentally prepares me for the things that I have to do this year. Because I'm gone. All the time. My January's already booked. My February's almost booked. I'm taking March off. A couple of meetings in April. Gone in May. So the time I've spent at this church, I can't even dwell on without coming to tears. I got saved here. I got discipled here. My wife got saved here. My oldest daughter got saved here. My oldest son got saved here. This place is precious to me. It's precious. I value this church more than any other. There's no other church on the planet that I value more at this moment. When I go to Joplin, this church will have to take second place. Because the Lord's given me a heart for Joplin. But right now, this church is on the small list of things that I consider precious. Precious. What do you value in your life more than anything else? Is the Word of God on that list? And I just really want you to just stop and think about that. You know, we're so casually flippant in our Bible reading that the value we have for the Holy Word of God basically depends upon our circumstances of the day. Right? And I'm guilty of that, I guarantee you. If I'm absolutely too tired, and if I've slept in too late, I hit that dumb snooze button too many times, what's the first thing that goes out the window in my morning routine? And how can I say that the Word of God is precious to me if that is how I handle the Word of God? How can I do that? How can I be honest with God and say, Lord, I love You and I love Your Word, but I'm just too lazy this morning. I'm too tired to make time to get out of bed and to take care of it and read Your Word. Because you know what the thing is the things in your life that are precious to you, that are really valuable to you, you will allocate time for. You will set it aside, you will guard it, and you will make sure you have that time available for the things that are precious. I said my family's precious. Until the children's bedtime, every day, when I get home from work, it's for them. And if after they go to bed, the reason we always have had an early bedtime for our kids is because as a wife and a husband, we always valued having a couple of hours to ourselves where we can have big people talk and it helps keep them alive for the next day. It's really important that they live long. And the only way that that's going to happen is they go to bed. Because we allocate time. What does that mean? If they want to play games, I'll play games. If they want to watch a movie, I'll watch a movie. They want to read a book, we'll read a book. Whatever they want to do. I really try to accommodate them because we live in a society where children have issues because daddy's too busy. And yet, daddies want to say they love their children more than anything, that they're precious to them. Well, how can they be precious to you if you're not willing to allocate some time to them? That determines how much value you have for any set thing in this world, is whether or not you care enough about it to set aside some time and make sure that you have a moment with it. And here we are in this church with a Bible in our lap. Brand new year. It's a brand new year. You know, Bible reading is a lot like dieting. You know, everybody comes out of the gate January 1st just ready to read their Bible. Yet this is one of those things that requires some discipline to carry through. This is one of those things that requires that you value it enough to set aside the time required to read your Bible. Isn't it amazing how much preaching and teaching we have to hear as Christians to read our Bible? It makes me sick to think about how often I, as a preacher of God's righteousness, have to be told to read my Bible. Why? Because when I'm told, then I usually stop back and think, well, maybe I haven't been reading it like I should. You ever been guilty of that? Just checking your box? Just kind of reading words on a page. What's the difference between your Bible and a newspaper? a Facebook post, a tweet or a blog or whatever you want to call it? What makes it different? Whether or not you want it to be different. Whether or not you could acknowledge it for what it is. We find the nation of Israel in an absolute drought for the words of God. There's no prophets prophesying. There's no one having visions. They're in a time where they're just floundering for the things of God. Where the word of God is so precious, all they want is a morsel of the word of God. And yet we will sit here with 66 completed books of divine revelation and ignore it tomorrow morning. Doesn't seem right. But we'll say, I love my Bible. I love my wife. If I treated my wife like I did my Bible, would I still have my wife? Think about that. If all I did was give my wife 15 minutes with one eye open a day, we wouldn't have much of a relationship, would we? What would we have? We would have tension. We would have strife. We would have discontentment in the home. I would have a woman walking around my house telling me she is fine all day long, and she would be anything but fine. It's just an outright lie. That's the way it is. Why? Because something that was and should be precious to me, I'm not allocating any time for. Now, we find in this passage a phrase in verse number 3 that is kind of interesting, because you can read over this and not quite grasp what it's talking about. In verse number 3, it says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." This is actually a reference to time. The lamp of God. Now, when I was researching and studying this, a lot of guys wanted to make this kind of be a bit of a metaphor for the fact that there wasn't no open vision. But there's a verse in between these two that was talking about the fact that there was no open vision and the word of the Lord was precious. And then it says that the lamp of God went out, and that's when these two were asleep. Now, the lamp of God in the temple was put out in the morning, right before the sun rose. Which meant God wanted to speak to Samuel in the morning. Early in the morning. Why is it so important that God speaks to us in the morning? What happens to our day if He doesn't? It just slips right through our fingers. And we tell ourselves something like, well, I'll just read my Bible later. I'll do it after dinner. I'll do it after the kids go to sleep. I'll do it right before I go to sleep. And it doesn't work that way. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. This was when God called Samuel's name. This was when God told Samuel what He wanted Samuel to do. You know, you don't really realize just how tough of a task Samuel was given by God. You know, he was ministering unto Eli. Eli was his pastor. Eli was his mentor. And God told Samuel to tell Eli some pretty harsh things. He had to tell him that your sons were going to die. There isn't a person in this room I want to say that to. Let alone my pastor. And not only is his son's going to die, but he's going to die also. These kind of messages need to be heard loud and clear where you're giving God this moment in the morning, allowing Him the opportunity to direct you, to speak to you, to prepare you for the day you're about to have. It's important. How important? It should be important enough to be precious. Precious. Why? Why is your time in the morning with God supposed to be so precious? Because the minute you go about your day, everyone seeing you is judging you according to Jesus Christ. Now, how can I possibly live up to that standard? How can I possibly attain that level of holiness and righteousness? What hope is there? I tell you what, there's none if I don't spend my time with Him in the morning. If I don't allocate the time to the Word of God because it was precious. Precious. Think about that. Do you consider your Bible reading precious? And if you do, what do to make sure you get it? Do you let the cares of the world rush in and choke out the ability to deal with it like you need to? It's important. It is absolutely important. Not just for preachers, because we're just Christians too, who need to be fed on the Word of God. The minute this book stops being precious to me, my defenses are down. My guard's down. I'm supposed to be the spiritual guardian of my family. How can I do that with my guard down? The world just waiting to steamroll another Christian who forgets to read his Bible like he should. Am I immune to such? Absolutely not. Are you immune to such? Of course not. It has to be precious to you. Precious. I want you to think about something else. In this passage, we see a man who's about to be told some pretty harsh things. Eli. Now, if the word of the Lord was precious, and Eli was the prophet, if he was the priest, and the people weren't being fed, what happened in the life of Eli that led him to a place where this child was given direction that he was going to have to be replaced, put on the shelf, he was going to have to go home to God after his sons were removed? Well, if you understand the story that's going on, his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, were living wrong, doing horrible things. They were taking sacrifices. They were sleeping with women who were coming to the temple. They were absolutely profaning all the things of God. And do you think that happened overnight? Or do you think that happened because the Word of God stopped being precious to the head of their family? I can't prove that with Scripture. But I understand how we fall away from church, and how our families get driven into the ground like a tent stake through the wickedness of this world because we did. Did it happen because Jed Plymester didn't shake my hand this evening? Dirty dog. No. That's not how it happens. It happens because I stopped reading my Bible. And then what happens? Well, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to be praying like you should. Well, now you're not reading, you're not praying like you should. Well, guess what else happens? When those two things fall by the wayside, my church life is the next thing to come. And this is where Eli is. Eli's in a place where he doesn't care about the holiness of the temple. He doesn't care about the holiness of the Word of God. He doesn't care that his sons are absolutely profaning the temple, and the things that they're doing are just awful. He just doesn't care. Well, how did he get to that point? Well, it was one morning at a time where he just didn't feel like reading his Bible. He didn't feel like allocating the time. He didn't feel like making sure God knew that the Word of God was precious. Was precious. And that his house was precious. This is where it starts. Is right here. With this book. Just look at your Bible right now. Just look at it. What does that Bible mean to you? What does it mean? If somebody was to pick up your Bible and throw it across the room, what would you do? I don't even know what I would do. I would freak out. I do not know how well I could handle that. Just being honest. Why? Because if it's precious, I would treat it just like as if you picked up one of my children and threw them across the room. Do you love your Bible? How are you going to show God you love your Bible this year? By reading it when you feel like it? Or making sure that you have the time in place set aside just for it and it alone? Where nothing else matters, as you make sure you get your nose in your Bible and absorb the Word of God, not just read it with a blank face, but absorb it and get a hold of God and let Him speak to you. You know, I can't make you desire the Word of God. I could tell you there's been some moments on my kitchen table that I wouldn't trade for the world. I could tell you there were moments where God showed me who I was. And I didn't like what I saw. I could tell you there were moments where God showed me who He was. And I stood there amazed. Couldn't even speak. All you could do is just bow your head and bask in His presence. I can tell you that it's from the Word of God I got saved. I couldn't have done that on my own. It defies the very definition of the word saved. The Word of God, it's precious. How are we ever going to learn what God wants us to do in this life without it? How are we ever going to prepare ourselves for the day if we don't get a piece of it? How are we ever going to fulfill God's will in our lives without our Bible? It's so precious. It's precious. If that's all you get from this whole night is a desire to rekindle that fire for your love of your Bible, then my preaching was successful. I want you to remember how much you wanted to read your Bible when you got saved. Do you remember that desire? Where'd that go 5 years afterwards? 10 years, 15, 20, 25. I keep counting all day. Where'd that desire for God's Word go? Why is it we can hold this Bible and not feel like it's precious? I mean, God help us. Where have we become so desensitized to the Word of God that it's no longer something special? That it's no longer precious? That it's no longer a thing of great value to us? There are places in this world where you would be put in prison for what's in your lap. And yet you got to have some guy get up and scream and yell at you just for you to read it every day. Why is it no longer precious to us? Why do we get to a place where our handling of it is so poor that we have to be replaced like Eli to accomplish God's will? I don't ever want to be that guy. I've never wanted to be that guy. You know, God's will is going to be accomplished with you or through you or in spite of you. In spite of you. Now, God's will was accomplished in the nation of Israel despite Eli, despite his sons. Why? Because the word of the Lord wasn't precious to him anymore. And the temple wasn't either. And he had to be replaced. He had to be replaced. You hear some scary stories of people who were called to do certain things in life and didn't. And what did God do to them? He put them on a shelf. He called them home. And then he accomplished his will with someone who thought that the word of God was precious. Was precious. Now, I tell you something else you see in this passage is you see a child with childlike faith responding in a way that every child of God should respond when the word of the Lord comes to us. It's an amazing passage when you think about how God was willing to call and call and call again to Samuel. And I'm reminded about how many times he called me to salvation under the same circumstance. He didn't just call me once and just give up, and I praise the Lord for that, because there isn't a whole lot of people that would be here in this room if that was the case. Instead, he calls and he calls and he calls, letting you know that he's still calling your name. And all he wants you to do is respond. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." It's because he didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't know the Lord yet. But guess what? He's about to. He's about to. And the way he responds is the way every one of us responds when we first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. How does he respond? "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." What do you want me to do? You name it, God. What do you want me to do? You know, there's an attitude that God can use in this person at this point in his life. You know, and this attitude isn't reserved for children. You know, we like to think that they're the only ones that need to obey God as children. It's the furthest thing from the truth I've ever heard. How do they learn to obey God unless they see us as their parents and their elders and their Sunday school teachers obey God? How are they going to learn? They got to see us doing it. How do we do it? Well, we got to consider the word of the Lord precious. We got to hear it and value it and set aside time for it. And when God speaks to our hearts, we need to let them know. God spoke to me. He told me to do this. And I told him, okay. Instead, what happens is God speaks to us and speaks to us and speaks to us and speaks to us. And then he gets tired of speaking. He gets tired of talking. And we ignore him. And we know what he wants. And in absolute stubbornness, we squelch him to where he gives up. And then he finds someone else and replaces us. pretty serious line of thought. Has God ever called you to do something in this life? You guys know what He's called me to do. No one else gets up in front of everybody and proclaims what His orders are. It's pretty scary stuff. I have to give up some things. Things that I consider precious. Go to places where I don't know people. There's never a time in my life where I need to hear from Him more than right now. Why is my life any different in that aspect than yours? It's not. You know, there's never a time in your life where you needed to hear more from God than right now. Right now. You need to hear from God. He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you through this next year. He wants you to be so close to Him that He can whisper directions to you and have you say something like, "Yes, Lord." Not, "I couldn't do that." Anything but that. "Lord, I'll serve, but I won't do this. Lord, that my heart's just not in that." He knows where your heart is. He knows where you are. Sometimes you got to have a moment like Samuel and just tell God, "Lord, here am I. Well, what would you have me to do, Father? Lord, I hear you, but I don't understand. I need to be clear on what you want. Lord, here I am. Lord, speak to me. Father, please speak to me." There's never a more important time than right now for God to speak to you. You say, "Brother Nelson, there's nothing tragic going on in my life." Well, praise the Lord for that. You need right now to be speaking to God. I'm on a mountaintop. Good. You want to stay there? Speak to God. I'm in a valley. You want to stay there? Don't speak to God. Why do you think He puts us in those valleys? Everyone's heard it before. When you're at the bottom, all you can do is look up. There's nowhere else to go. That's why He had to put you there. Why? Because you found yourself in a place where the Word of God wasn't so precious anymore. And now what? Somebody is sick. A financial difficulty has come, and you just don't know what to do. Well, if you'd just been reading your Bible and praying like you should, 9 times out of 10, you wouldn't even be in that spot. But He's had to put you in a place where there's nothing else for you to do but to seek Him out. Why would we put ourselves in this place over and over and over again? All He ever wanted was to commune with His child. That's all He wants. He wants you to stop trying to do it in your own strength. Man, I'm good at that. And so are you. Of living in your own strength. We're good at it. Exceptional. And you think by the grace of God, because we survived another day and got a nickel in our pocket, that we're doing the will of God in our lives. If we're not doing what He said, how He said, when He said, and where He said, then we're living in the flesh. And we have success at it. That's why God has to put us down low. Because that's not what God wants. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to be successful, happy, and healthy. Everybody knows that's not true. What He wants you to do is to commune with Him like a child to their father. You know, my kids, they don't get this very often, where they get to go somewhere with Dad by themselves. I don't take all of them. I just pick one of them and I take them somewhere. And I enjoy that because we just drive and I either tell them funny stories or we just talk and whatever the conversation, however it leads is however it leads. And it's just one of those times as a parent where it's just so nice to just be able to just allocate time to them and just have all their attention and they have all of my attention. And I can just see it in their face. It is just important to them to have a moment with their father where they have his attention. And they can say whatever on God's green earth they want to say to him. And sometimes it's pretty wild. But it's precious. That's what God wants from you. How often does God want that? Every day of your life. He wants it every day. But you're not going to get it unless you come to a place where the word of the Lord is precious to you. And let's just be honest. As a Christian, over however long you've been saved, this ebbs and flows like the tide. Being honest. Me personally, I'm assuming everyone in this room is the same. I can only base upon my own existence. My Bible reading isn't as sweet as it could be every day. My prayer life isn't as sweet as it should be every day. Went through that revival service with Brother Elliot. There isn't a person in this room who felt like they were praying like they should after that. Well, there isn't a single one of us that want to give up what that man had to do to have that prayer life. That's what God wants. I'm not going to flog this horse until the clock rounds to 8 o'clock. I'm just going to close up with this thought. This year in 2018, you know, you got to make this choice. And this isn't a once and done choice where you can just say, January 1st, Word of God's going to be precious to me. Let's do this thing. That's not how it works. Tomorrow morning, you get to decide whether or not it's precious to you. And then the next day, you're going to have to decide if it's precious to you. And the day after that, you're going to have to decide if it's precious to you. And you're going to have to be constantly reminded over and over throughout the year to make this Bible precious to you. To you. So I want you guys to just stand, close your eyes, bow your head, and I just want you to ask yourself this question. Have you been valuing your Bible? Did you end this last year? Would you say you were just on fire in your Bible reading? Or December kind of roll you up and you ended the year on a note that you wouldn't brag about when it comes to the Word of God? Is the Bible precious to you? Is God speaking to you? Ask yourself, when was the last time He did speak to you? And I want you to analyze some of the things you were doing when He did. Because I guarantee you reading your Bible would have been on that list. As the piano plays, I just want you to ask yourself some honest questions.